Pastor Tommy last week started a series on the armor of God. And I loved how he started it in the sense of saying that an armor is only practical or only relevant when we are in a war. And we have established that we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in spiritual warfare or a spiritual conflict, thus making the armor of God very practical and very relevant for our time. And sometimes, you know, when I heard, okay, we're going to do a series on the armor of God, I said, okay, you know, like my brain, I grew up praying, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with the belt of truth. On my feet, I put on the shoes that will prepare me to proclaim the gospel of peace. In one hand, the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. In the other hand, the sword of the spirit, which is your word. I put on my mom would add this, the garment of praise for heaviness. That's Isaiah 61. And the robe of righteousness, for I have been made right through Christ Jesus. And so every time I think about the armor of God, it gets super familiar with me. And so as Pastor Tommy was asking me to kind of step in this week, I was approaching it. Oh, you know, I know this. Oh, I can teach on this. I can teach part two. And the Lord's like, hey, bud, you have a little bit too much familiarity with this. And I'm like, sorry. That's why I prayed, Lord, that I might speak about this in your fear, right? Because sometimes we can approach the word, if you've read it so many times and you've talked about it so many times or you've heard it so many times, we can approach it with some familiarity. And so today I'm going to do my best, or I have this fresh conviction to approach this spiritual warfare that we have, that the spiritual conflict that we are a part of, and the spiritual weapons of our warfare that the Lord has given us, and make it truly relevant to my mind and to my heart again. Would you join me in that? Yeah? So last week, Pastor Tommy started on the belt of truth, that how Paul sets it up. And let's just actually see how he sets it up. Let's read Ephesians 6 together, if we have that there. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, I love that, to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I love that Paul does not say that our battle is against the worst politician. Or he does not say the battle is against our rival company. He says that our battle is against the spiritual forces that are ruling the present evil within this age, within this time. Oof. Therefore, take up the armor of God, or the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. I like the stand therefore. And then stand therefore. There's a version that says stand therefore. I love that one. Anyways, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Pastor Tommy talked about that last week. That how Paul starts this is that he says truth is going to be your first, it's going to be the first defense that you have in this warfare. It's going to be the first defense that you have in the spiritual conflict of the ages of your time and of your season on the earth. Isn't that good? Now, Pastor Tommy, I love how he put it there where he talked about how we must stand for the truth, how we must live in the truth, how we must resist the lies of Satan. Isn't that wonderful? He had us speak and repeat out loud these statements. I will not listen to Satan's lies. I will not believe Satan's lies. I will not repeat Satan's lies. I will not live a lie. And I will put on the truth. And the truth will make me free. You remember that? I love that. It's beautiful. I was doing some study as to what this truth is. And yes, we are talking about the truth of the knowledge of God. We are talking about the truth of our gospel. We are talking about the truth of what is right and what is wrong, right? What is and what is not. That's the truth he's calling us to. But he's also calling us to integrity. He's calling us to live the truth. He's calling us to live with honesty and integrity within our hearts, with loyalty to the truth. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? And so Paul is saying, if you're going to stand in this evil day, this is what you got to do. You have to embrace, you have to sign up day by day by day to live in the truth and to live in truth even in your innermost being, in your heart, in your hearts of hearts. Amen? So, following as Pastor Stommy started on the truth, we're going to cover the other two right after it. The breastplate of righteousness. And it says here, the shoes that will prepare us to proclaim the gospel of peace.
Is that good? That's what we're
going to
talk about today.
It just, oh, there it is. We made it. So, as he has called us to live in this truth, and in this truth, it arms us, it helps us to then fit the other armor on. I love that he calls truth a belt. I could not wear the pants I'm wearing right now without a belt. Or I could, it would just not be okay. Right? And so this belt helps me to then move on to put on other things, right? And so this is how he's saying, put your pants on, put your big girl pants on, put your big boy pants on. Gird it with truth. Embrace truth in your life. And then now let's put on your breastplate. I love in this language, the breastplate is like a bulletproof vest. It's our equivalent of a bulletproof vest. He says, now put on your vest. Don't put on your vest and be in your underwear. I'm sorry for that image. Anyways, don't be in your vest and be unprepared in other ways. Put on truth first. Gird yourself up with truth and then put your vest on. Right? Because you're going to be in this warfare. And you can't go off bare. You have to protect the most vital areas of your heart, of your stomach, the lungs, those vital areas. That's what this breastplate is to protect. Now, Paul is using this and saying righteousness is like a bulletproof vest. And he's saying it's going to protect the vital areas of your spirit, of your soul. What are the vital areas of our soul? Well, the vital areas of our soul, as the scriptures will say it, is our heart. It's our heart. I love what Proverbs 4 says. It says, guard or watch your heart above all things, above all else. For it determines the course of your life. It says, guard your heart. It's saying, this is the most vital area of your soul. Guard your heart. Why do I say it's the most vital? Because it says, above all else. It perplexed me that
that the Lord would say, guard your heart. If you read anything about the heart, it shares two things about the heart. You ready to see that? Here's what Jeremiah 17 says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. So here's Solomon telling us, guard your heart above all else, for from it determines the course of life. And then Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? Okay, that's Old Testament. Let's go to New Testament. Let's see what Jesus says about our heart. All right? Because he has some good things to say about our heart. Here's what Jesus says in Mark 7. He says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting or jealousy, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. So, okay, Lord. This is me last night. Okay, Lord. If you're calling me to guard my heart, but here's all these scriptures that are coming up saying that my heart, it is deceitful, that my heart, within my heart or with my heart, I do what is not right before you, then why am I guarding something that is not right before you with all vigilance, with all diligence? Isn't that perplexing to you? But then again, the Lord reminded me, we have the greatest instruction, and it has everything to do with what we direct the energy of our heart to accomplish. You with me? Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 23 or 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandments, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. Basically, everything that God wants for us, everything that he has instructed us to do, comes from directing the energies of our heart to accomplish love. To accomplish love of God and to accomplish love of one another. Are you with me? So then I said, Lord, why would you ask us to use the very thing that you say is deceitful, that you say is wicked, that you say all manner of evil comes from? Doesn't it sound like a seed bed of evil? Like, why would I then direct that to loving you? How is the question that came to my heart? Not just why, but how would I direct that to loving you? And this is what Paul begins to unlock for us when he begins to speak about righteousness. Here's what the scripture says, and this is just a good old scavenger hunt one for you. I didn't add this in the notes, but it's coming up to my mind, so I'm going to say it anyways. This is what he says in Isaiah 1, and he says this to us. Come, let us wash ourselves. Come, let's wash ourselves. Let's reason with the Lord. And before it says that, he says this. He says, stop or cease to do what is evil and learn to do what is right. That how this begins with the Lord, how this begins with you and I engaging the Lord in love and in faith is one thing, ceasing to do what is evil and learning to do what is good. And this is what it's telling me, that my heart has the ability to stop directing its energies towards things as Jesus lists, sexual morality, and and theft and murder and adultery and anger and slander and envy, and then direct it to what is good and what is right before him. And that through faith in Jesus, let's just establish this, through faith in Jesus, the Bible says that the Lord forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of what we did from our hearts, with our hearts, such as adultery and anger and slander and envy, right? He forgives us of that. He pardons us. When he pardons us, he makes us right before him. He says, okay, now you're good. I'm with you. I'm for you. And I'm going to wash you of all your sins. I'm going to wash you of all the actions and the attitudes of your heart. And then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my finger, and then I'm going to start this work, and I'm going to begin to write my law on your heart. And then when I begin to do that good work, I'm going to help you. Here's what he says. I'm going to cause you to do what is right. Here's how you know you're coming into good faith with Jesus. You're really coming into faith with Jesus. You want to do what is right. You want to do. You're discerning what is wrong. You're discerning what is right. And you're saying, I'm going to choose right. Now, the first fruit of faith in Jesus is not falling in love with everyone. That'll come a little bit later in practice. But it's to agree with him as to what is right and what is wrong, as to what is clean and what is unclean. Yeah? And this happens through a process of renewal. Are you with me? That the Lord is calling us to renew the affections and the attitudes of our heart to cause us to do his will. So Paul says, you want to protect your heart? You want to guard your heart above all else? Here's what you need to do. Gird up your loins with truth. Embrace the truth. Embrace living in utter integrity. And then put on righteousness. Put on righteousness. Put on what you know and what you are learning is right, and what you are learning is wrong. Put on those things. Put on righteousness, and it will guard your heart. It is not just the righteousness that we are counted because of faith. It is the righteousness of living in obedience to the will of God. This starts with our hearts. Good? I love what Proverbs 23 says. It says, hear my son or daughter, be wise and direct your heart in the way. Do you see that? Direct your heart. Focus your heart in the way. Is that good? Here's another one. Colossians 3. Do not lie to one another. Be truthful. Doesn't that sound real familiar? Gird your loins with truth, or put on truth like a belt. And then seeing that you have put off the old self, that's our heart in its old practices of slander and adultery and sexual morality, seeing that you've put it off with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. In another epistle, Paul says that you would put on faith and love like a breastplate. It's very interesting how he shares the same thing in another epistle. He says, put on faith and love like a breastplate. In this one, he says, put on righteousness like a breastplate, like a bulletproof vest. You with me there? He equates faith in God and love of God and one another as righteousness in another epistle, in another letter. That is what Paul is saying. Now let's bring our attention to what comes after righteousness, and that is peace. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and he says, put on the shoes that will prepare you to proclaim, or with the readiness to proclaim, the gospel of peace. Let me break it down. Put on peace, or the good news of peace, like boots in a battle, ready to share it with anyone that comes needing it. Ready?
That was not a rhetorical question. You ready?
Do you have the boots that will prepare you to proclaim this gospel of peace? I remember hearing this statement in my head last night. I literally could not remember where I heard it, but we as the church, you may know where we heard it. We as the church, this gospel is good news all the time. Have you ever heard that? That we as the church, we have good news all the time. For every circumstance, we have good news. For every situation, we have good news. For every hurt and pain, we have good news. For every confusion, for every frustration, we have good news. And sometimes I believe that I forget. I'm just going to put it on myself here. No one else in this room forgets this but me. I forget that what I have believed in is really good news. It's amazing news. And sometimes I get lulled by the situations of life where, though I pray the prayer, my readiness to actually share this really good news is not there. My readiness is not there. He's not saying put on peace or the gospel of peace as shoes. He's saying put on the readiness to prepare or to proclaim the gospel of peace like shoes. That he's not actually calling us to just gird ourselves up, to put on our bulletproof vest, and to stand idly by while bullets are just running past us. Oh, it's not going to hurt me, so, you know, I'm going to heaven, so. You know, I go to church every Sunday, so I'm good. No, there is a world of hurt out there. That if there are powers and principalities and spiritual forces that are literally leading evil in this world. I love how Jesus looks at it in Matthew 9. He looks at the crowd and he says, look how afflicted and harassed they are. Like sheep scattered without a shepherd. You know what happens when sheep scatter? All they have in their mind is to survive. And they need the voice, a trusted voice, to say, come to me. They need a trusted voice to rally around. They need a trusted voice to feel safe that they're not surviving all the time. And guess what? We have a world out there surviving suffering and pain and sin. They are suffering. They're harassed and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And God has put his good news in our mouths. And he says here, I want you to ready yourself day by day by day. Ready yourself to declare that good news, to speak the words of the shepherd so that those could hear and they could rally around faith and love in the man Jesus and find peace. Isn't that wonderful? That's my phrase this morning, I guess. That there is, we have found peace. Haven't you found peace? Don't you have peace for every situation? It does not mean there's an absence of frustration at times. It does not mean that there's absence of confusion at times. It just means in it all, I'm rooted. When the waves and the storm of life and darkness and lies rage and beat against my house, it is built on a foundation that can never be compromised. I have peace. It means that, I like this, it's making me a little happy. It means that as my, and this is a little bit personal, so you can awe it with me. As my 3-year-old is going tomorrow for her first day at school, and my wife and I are looking at her like, no, we're not ready for you to leave, and how is she gonna be treated in school? And then I'm not gonna be there to see her and watch over her and all the nervousness of starting the 14-year-old track of money and just dollar signs for school and supplies. And Lord, I'm a missionary. Do you know this? Do you understand? I live off of support and faith. And he literally says to me, but you have peace. I'll watch over you. I'll watch over her. When you're not watching her, I'm watching her. I'll provide for her. I'll provide for you. I have peace. How many in this world does not have that peace? How many have we passed by in Walmart and in Reese's and in Target? I love Target. There's nice people at Target. You know, everybody's saved at Target, you know. But how many people have we passed by that were in survival mode, that didn't have the peace that we claim day after day? Isn't that? Doesn't that stir your heart to put on the boots, which is readiness to share this gospel of peace? Here's how the scriptures speak of Jesus. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. Good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I want you to notice the audience of Jesus. Jesus did not come for a church service. He didn't come to talk to us that are already doing his law. He likes it. He likes us. But his heart is yearning for, look who's he's yearning for, the poor.
the harassed, the brokenhearted, the imprisoned. Jesus isn't calling us to idly stand by either. This is what he says in John 20. He says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." I love how he starts that. It just, you know, captures my attention there. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As, Lord, are you sure? Are you really positive you want to send me? Like, you were perfect. Like, you were tempted with everything and yet without sin. I go through a paper cut and I'm a little baby about it. I need your help. I need my wife. Please get the Band-Aid. I don't know how to put it on myself. What do you mean? Put it on. You know, like, hurry up. Think about that. And Jesus is saying, this little crybaby, no, I don't see you a crybaby. I don't see you as unqualified or ill-equipped. I don't see it. Just as the Father sent me, meaning just as he gave me the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to give you the Spirit of the Lord. Just as he anointed me, meaning he enabled me, I'm going to enable you. And you're going to go and share the good news to the poor. You're going to go and share the good news of healing in me to the brokenhearted. You're going to go and share the good news to the captives. Hey, I know a man that will open your prison doors. You're going to share that good news. It is easy to share good news. I dread when I have to bring a word of correction to my child. I know it's necessary, but I dread it. Because she's dramatic like her father. But when it's good news, me and my wife fight over who's going to tell her. No, I'm going to tell her. Nope. No, I'm going to tell her. It's good news. There's no fear in sharing good news. And I believe the Lord is saying, I want you to put this readiness on. This readiness could be joy. This readiness could be that he wants us to have joy in sharing this good news and drawing men to himself. Yeah? Our news is good news always. It doesn't hurt to tell good news. This is what Peter says. He says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Here's how he says to do it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. We're not forcing anybody to take good news. I actually don't need to force you. That's actually not what I've been called to do. I've just been called to explain it. I remember my friend would say this, I'm just going to share with you what the scripture says and you decide. You decide. And we have to come toward this readiness that the Lord's calling us to share this gospel, this good news of peace, with this mindset. When someone asks me, explain your faith, that I put on gentleness and I put on respect and honor and dignity, and I just explain it.
I just tell them about this man that I have found faith in and I've come to love. And in so doing, he guards my heart and my mind in unimaginable peace. Yeah? All right. This is my close. My close was like 5 minutes ago, but hey. I've been praying this week, and in my prayers, I've been stirred or a little burdened about what's happening in our world. I just need to do a soul fast. My friend talked this morning in a text about a soul fast where you just get off social media, you get off the news, you get off TV, and you just spend time with your family and before the Lord in prayer and just reconnect. Sometimes you can see what's happening to truth and to in such a relativistic culture. It's your truth against my truth against your truth, and it's scary. It really is. It's a scary thought. And in this tension in my heart, the Lord says this to me. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who thirst. Come to these waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy and eat. It's very interesting. That's a very interesting statement. Those of you that, you can't buy this. You can't. You don't have what it takes to earn this, but come and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and labor for which does not satisfy? I feel like we're living in a world where people are reaching. They're reaching for what's satisfied. Let me just say it like this. People are reaching for peace. We want peace. We just want to know that we're safe and secure. And here's the Lord. He's not wagging his finger at our human attempts to reach for peace. He's right here in the midst of it, inviting the world. Come. You're thirsty? Come. I'll give you some water. You're hungry? Come. I'll give you some bread. You don't have to labor for what doesn't satisfy. He says, listen to me. This is the bread. He says, listen to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting relationship, an everlasting covenant. My steadfast love, my sure love. I love that. He's like, this is how you're going to have peace. You're going to come and listen to me. You're going to talk to me. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to commit to you my steadfast love towards you. And I'm going to give you faith in that so that you know it's sure love. We have a world that needs confidence in sure love. Put on righteousness and put on readiness to share this good news that brings us peace. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Well, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this righteousness that you have given us. I thank you for the moment that we put our faith in you, that you said to us, I forgive you. I forgive you. I will not hold your sins against you. And you made us right. And you began to write your law on our hearts. And you began to teach us what is right and cause us to do it, to do what is right. I thank you for that, that rightness, that righteousness that you've given us, that you're teaching us. It guards our heart like a bulletproof vest in a world that seeks to accuse us and to bring us down. We know in whom we have believed. We know that we have been made right. We know that our sins have been removed from us. All the wrong have been removed because of the man Jesus. And then you gave us this, we believe, this good news of peace. And you're calling us, Lord. You're sending us, just as you have been sent, to the brokenhearted and to the harassed and the afflicted, that they might find peace. Peace in you. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for that anointing to rest on this church, to rest on this gathering, for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us and enable us and energize us in the work of sharing this good news. And that with those that are reaching for security and safety and peace, that we would be just as welcoming as Isaiah 55. Come sit with me. Come and eat lunch with me. Come and eat dinner with me, and I'll share with you what money can't buy. I'll share with you what philosophy can't earn you. I'll share with you what I have found that have caused me peace, that has satisfied my innermost soul. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that you'd give grace to our hearers when we share this good news of peace. I thank you for these in this room. Holy Spirit, come upon them. Cause us to do your will and to find joy in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if our prayer team would join us up front, and if you're in need of prayer in anyway, this is a great time to just connect and to share where you're at and to be reminded through prayer of that peace that we have in Jesus. I invite you to come as you will. Formally dismissed. God bless you all.